103. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another interesting day here on the Miller's Edge. Obviously, still in that bye week. There is some practice and some work being done, but obviously no opponent this weekend. So we have the chance to talk about a number of other things, kind of dive into a few other areas, but we'll definitely still be talking Alabama, kind of what to expect, what's next coming out of this bye week. Obviously, we know the Bulldogs are up next, but what really is up next? What's on the horizon? I mean, we're about to go on a big stretch, right? What are the things that these guys need to be focused on right now, not only to get past this Georgia game, that's just one of them, but the other games that remain ahead. I mean, I think over the next five games, I think four of the opponents are ranked, in the fifth one, which would have been like South Carolina, previously was ranked, not ranked right now after the Vanderbilt loss, but nonetheless, they have a good, solid football team, right? Not sure how good this year, but they've got some good players, got a really good quarterback, really good defensive end, and so obviously that's going to be a challenge. Plus, it's on the road in my hometown where I was born and raised, Columbia, South Kakalaki, as we like to call it. So we'll definitely dive into that, but with it being a bye week, we got some time to kind of, you know, take a shift, and we won't go too far out there, but there's been some things coming up that we definitely got to talk about. First and foremost, you know, in the offseason, we talked a lot about this. Hadn't talked about it recently, but got some good news for all you folks that are sick and tired of college free agency, right? And want some more guardrails. Well, it appears they're putting some up, right? We've thought we were getting guardrails in the past, didn't quite get those like we thought we were going to get. But it appears that we're finally getting something, and I'll talk a little bit about what that is, but it relates to the transfer portal window, something that I feel like should have been addressed a while ago. So we'll see kind of how it's going to take effect and what's going to come from that. So we'll dive into that. Plus, I also got to tell you guys, man, I know we're done with Florida State. We put it behind us, right? We've talked about it. We've discussed it. Literally, we've discussed it and we've been discussed it, right, watching the tape. But we got to bring it back up, and I'll tell you why. There was a defensive lineman for Florida State who was speaking to the media that had a lot to say regarding Alabama, and it was some very interesting comments that he had. So I definitely want to play that and get y'all's reaction to it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even hear the original question that they asked him. I just heard his response. I'm curious if we can go back and find that whole question, because I'm trying to figure out why we're still in his mouth. I mean, they're coming off a bye week, right? They're playing some decent football, obviously. They've got a lot of stuff in front of them. I'm curious how we came up in this press conference, but he is a true freshman, so his comments aren't too shocking to me, knowing that he probably didn't know better. Anyway, that being said, actually, maybe he did, Chase. Now that I think about it, he might have just learned from his quarterback. Quarterback kind of started this whole thing with his comments in the offseason, so maybe people are kind of following suit. But I know one thing, man. You can only talk so much. At some point, they're going to back it up. They're going to another riding this high right now, beating us. And then, obviously, the big 70-something to nothing game against East Texas A&M, whatever school that is. But we'll see. We'll see how real they are once they actually get tested. They haven't been tested yet, but we'll figure that out and some. Let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Make sure you guys check them out. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. Right there in Midtown Village. You can't miss it. Go walk in there. They take walk-ins. They'll show you how they work. They even have foot massagers in the meantime where you kick back and get the whole presentation. It's not one of those things, guys. Don't worry. It's not like some, you know, cheesy presentation. I'm explaining the process of how they show you the arch supports, let you try them on, do the balance tests, all that stuff. Really good customer service, man. But most importantly, it helps eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, or back pain. So if you're dealing with any of that, you're on your feet a lot, right? Aches and pain stuff catching up to you. Make sure you give the Good Feet store a try. Again, try before you buy. You can go to their website, goodfeet.com, schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time, just like we try to do for you guys, 2 hours at a time right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. But what we want to do is take this quick timeout. We come out, we dive into this. We'll start with the whole Florida State deal, because that was pretty interesting. I'm gonna pull up his comments. I'm curious what y'all think about this. Personally, I thought it was pretty damn disrespectful, just being honest. Now, I'll let you guys hear. We'll load up the clip again. We are live on YouTube. Check the stream out if you guys want to see that. Radio listeners, don't worry. It's just some guy at a podium just running his mouth so you guys will hear it loud and clear. But again, at the Miller's Edge on YouTube if you guys want to check out the stream. 205-342-9904 if you guys want to jump on the phone lines. You can also download that Tide 100.9 app completely free. Listen to all the shows wherever you're at. Plus, you can immediately respond, leave voice messages, text messages for us to read, and also immediately call in as well with that app. So, guys, make sure you download it if you haven't already.
800-285-8939. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. 800-285-8939.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we're going to kick things off with this little snippet, because I'm curious to hear what you guys think about this clip again. I was on, I think, X last night or in the afternoon, and I saw this clip, and I thought it was AI. Like, that's the crazy thing, Chase. Like, nowadays, bro, like, you really have to double check if something's AI generated or you know, or not. And I just see this clip of this guy talking with saying what he's about to say. I'm about to play it. We got to pot it up here on the stream. And I'm like, man, there's no way a dude just was going to be sitting in the media saying that. Not to mention, again, we played them, what, 3 weeks ago now? I'm like, there is no way somebody, he said that. But sure enough, man, I ended up seeing other people start reporting it not long after that. And I was like, oh, brother. So I guess, you know, Tommy Castellanos is rubbing off on his teammates, not only, you know, with the confidence on the field, but clearly with the way they talk off the field. So let's hear what Florida State freshman defensive lineman Mondrell Desir, these names, and at least the pronunciation of these names, right? Sorry if I messed it up, kid. But let's hear what he had to say in regards to the Alabama game.
Was there any, you seemed to hold your own out there very, very early on. Was there any kind of, I don't even want to say surprise isn't the right word, but like, were you expecting to be able to hold your own that early, I mean, your very first game?
I mean, coming to this game, they were talking about best O-line in the country, that, you know, I felt like it was a nice game. Like, it didn't feel hard for me. It just felt like I could dominate, and that's when I went out there and did it.
How much confidence can that give you? We saw what you did the next week as well. How much confidence did that give you that you're able to go out there and do what you did?
I mean, after that game, it definitely gave me a boost of confidence, because now I'm comfortable in the game. Now I know how it works. Now I know how, you know, how big the field is, and, you know, different factors.
All right. So there you go. I just wanted to see what his follow-up was. I never heard what he ended up saying after that. But kind of crazy, Chase, to hear somebody say that about Alabama, man. I'm not going to lie to you. That I never in a million years thought I would hear somebody say that about us, man. Like, I mean, like, those are like fighting words, bro. I mean, like, being called soft, we were talking about that. Like, obviously, that's a huge show of disrespect for football, at least. But having a dude say, I mean, he just casually just said that, Chase. He literally just said, oh, man, they're talking about number one offensive line, this, but I held my own easy, and it just felt like another high school game. I feel like he wasn't trying to be disrespectful, so even though he definitely was. Maybe he was just saying, like, because he's a true freshman, right? Didn't he felt like he kind of just was able to go out there and play how he's been playing up to that point, right? Given, you know, you hear a lot about that freshman adjustment or the adjustment to, you know, playing at the college level. So, like, I get where he was probably coming from with it. But, golly, Chase, I mean, like, just to hear somebody say that about Alabama, like, I mean, just talk about, like literally going from people literally just, I guess, giving up before they even play the game to seeing you get off the bus. And now you got 18-year-old kids saying, oh, that was easy. I felt like I was still playing in high school, man. I legit thought it was AI generated, but it's not. I mean, it's legit. Chase, I mean, what do you think when you hear that? I mean, is that worse than what anything that Tommy said? Would you say?
I would say it's a lot worse. He, watching it too, his body language tells a lot. He's relaxed. He's not stressed. He's not looking over his shoulders. He's not looking back and forth between the reporters. He's chilling at home. And I think the fact that he said it so calmly says a lot about how Florida State really feels about Alabama and how they played them. You know, it started with the first one with Tommy, and then it kind of crept in with other players. And I feel like that's the message a lot of teams are feeling now. And that's scary for Alabama, because if they don't see fear, when they see that crimson A on that helmet walking into Saban Field or on the road, I don't know. I think the fear factor's gone. I think it's something that Alabama needs to get back, because it's just a regular team right now. The fact that an 18-year-old had the cojones to say that and no one's bringing this up is, it's just college football, man. But I don't know. I would feel disrespected. I know you're a former player of UA, so I could tell you're hot, because it's like, I don't know if you've seen this before. Maybe former players saying that when you've played them about UA, maybe calling them soft. Like, that's a term right there. I never thought opposing player would say about Alabama, especially the offensive line.
I mean, coming to this game, they were talking about best O-line in the country. I felt like it was another high school game. Like, it didn't feel hard for me.
The more I keep hearing it, I'm just like, that's crazy. He's talking about Alabama. And you're right, man. Look at his body language. I mean, he's standing tall. I wish we had that type of confidence. I mean, damn. I mean, I know our guys were talking, you know, addressing stuff and whatever, but I mean, like, damn. I don't know. I'm curious to what our listeners think about that. Fromm said he said what he... Let me ask you this, Chase. Do you feel like this is a product of their quarterbacks doing? Do you feel like Tommy Castellanos coming out... When was that? Was it the spring initially? Whenever it was. I would say offseason. I can't remember if it was spring. I think it was spring, because I think there was clips of him training, then he ran into Isaiah Horton. And he said, look, man, I'm just trying to get my guys fired up, ready to roll, you know, instill some confidence in these guys. Do you feel like we're hearing this type of message from a guy like this because of his quarterback? Or you think, I mean, it is what it is? Personally, I think there's some influence from the quarterback. I feel like they're taking on the persona of Tommy Castellanos. Personally, what do you think?
I agree 100%, Christian. I think it's the leader of your team, right? You believe in them. You know, they talk to you every day, practices, small group meetings, you know, in the classroom, hanging outside of the football field. You're around them all the time. And it only takes one leader to spark something. And I'm not going to be surprised, Christian, if they're having these conversations, they're really believing that what this kid is saying at that podium. I 100%, I don't think it's some facade. I don't think it's something to just get them going, get their juices flowing. They truly believe that. And the one thing, and I hate that Alabama has to go through this, but other teams are going to see this and be like, if they could do it and had a, what, 2-10 season last year, why don't we have a chance? Why can't we match their level? Why do we have to be a lesser team of them of old, like Vanderbilt, you know, like Missouri? There's so many other teams that are looking at this as bulletin board and like, if this 18-year-old can say this, and we have seniors that can match that. Let's go out and kick their you know what. So it is it's crazy, Christian.
Yeah, I think that it's just further proof, man. The target on our back is bigger than ever. I mean, Coach Saban used to even talk about that target, man. Like, it's true. You know, like, when you're the standard, man, everybody wants to be that, right? Everybody wants to take that spot. But for the longest time, they just couldn't, right? Everybody going into the year, I'm sure they always saw what's on the schedule. Probably were scared, but we're trying to convince themselves, nah, we can play with those boys. We put our cleats on the same way, but then they get on the field and they understand, nah. And I know that it kind of slowly dipped off because, I mean, let's just be fair. I mean, 2022, you lose to LSU, you lose to Tennessee, right? I think that's when some of that, what's the word we use, that luster, whatever you want to call it, whatever, kind of started to fade, right? Tennessee, who hadn't beaten us in how many years, right? They had this kind of confidence after they beat us, I'm sure. LSU, Jaden Daniels, you know what I mean? Now, I know 2023, you know, kind of build it back up, but, well, somewhat. We obviously lost to Texas. That wasn't great, but after that, played well. But what I'm getting at is it's not like this has happened overnight. This has been probably, what, 3 at least years in the making. But I think you're right, Chase. I think now people just look at Alabama on the schedule, and I don't think they look at us as a normal team, and I'll tell you why. It's actually kind of interesting. They view us as a normal team in terms of, like, potential and I guess like talent level, maybe, right? In terms of like a level playing field, but they still know that brand holds weight. Meaning, I think that further enhances like that target. You get what I'm saying? Like, follow my drift here. They know that. Okay, Bama is beatable, or at least they feel that way. They feel Bama's beatable. And even though they know that, you know, there's a lot of other teams on Bama's level right now, they don't get that same, I guess, not benefit, but they don't get that same reward for beating those teams like they do in Alabama, just because it's Alabama. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? For example, I mean, one could argue, right, any of the teams that are ranked above Alabama right now, technically, are, quote unquote, at least on paper, are rankings better teams in Alabama. But if they were to go and beat Penn State, if they were going to go beat who's another, an LSU who's ranked above Alabama, you think they're going to sit there and be talking crazy like this? No, because those brands aren't Alabama. So in my head, I'm like, damn, that makes our target even bigger, because people still storm the field after beating Alabama. Hence, they storm the field after beating Alabama. If Alabama is, it's like a, it's so weird, because it's like on one part, they're trying to disrespect Alabama, like, oh, it's not this, not that. On the other end, they're celebrating when they beat us, which is why I think the target's bigger, because it's like, basically what I'm getting at is, and this is probably not the best term, people are trying to come up off of us, pretty much. Chase, you know what I mean when I say that. Everybody's going to come up.
I do.
They're trying to come up off Alabama right now, and it makes the target even bigger, but I don't know. I'm curious what our listeners think about this, because to me, I just was like, dude, Tommy talking preseason is one thing, right? Let him talk. Boom. It is what it is. But you go out there and you play somebody, and now you got an 18-year-old sitting at a press conference, and he is comparing you, not necessarily comparing you to high school, but basically saying, I feel like I was playing a high school game. I wasn't challenged like that. Who said it in here? I think Superfly said it. The national media calling you soft, all that, cool. Man, this, I think, supersedes that, man. I'd play this during this bye week. I would have his ass on loop through every TV in that complex. And I know a lot of you are saying this in the chat, too. You hope that we can kind of see them again in the playoffs. Who knows, man? I'll tell you one thing. That hopefully would be a much better game. I think it definitely would. But, man, I mean, we pretty much have... We set the whole trajectory for this Florida State team. They honestly, Chase, they need to send us a nice gift, a nice check in the mail. I mean, like, so, because right now, these dudes, I feel like they've really come up off of us. We've changed the whole trajectory for their season this year. Like Chase, if we would have beat them, I feel like they could have risked falling back into the same place they were last year. But because they beat us week one, man, they are on a whole nother high right now. I don't know. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. Got some transfer portal news that we definitely need to discuss. Got plenty of Alabama to talk about. But I want to get y'all's thoughts. What do y'all think about the freshman defensive line coming out and saying that, man? Like, you think that's good bulletin board material? I definitely think it is. If these guys didn't have any other motivation, I just damn sure can tell you that this would do it. That's a different level right there. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Fusackley's Chicken Fingers, the only sack you can cheer for and eat. Can't fake the foo.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
To the game, the Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes, Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
95.3 The Bear.
And Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We just got done hearing from true freshman defensive lineman Mandrell Desir from Florida State. Obviously, he's the one with those comments regarding Alabama, basically comparing the Alabama game to a high school game, and that he wasn't very challenging that game. To be fair, during the break, we just went back and watched his highlights from the game on Twitter. I'm not going to lie, Chase, I don't know if you were watching the stream during the break, but he actually, I'll be honest with you, I understand why he is feeling so confident. Like, I'm just going to put myself in his shoes. If I'm a true freshman, I show up on campus, and the first game I play in ever as a collegiate athlete is against the University of Alabama. There's all this hype. There's all this talk. And then I go out there and I execute the way he executed again. I mean, we watched him specifically. I'm actually really impressed, man. Like, we saw him line up at nose. We saw him line up on the edge. And he made plays at both positions. He was physical, right? Really good technique in the run game, right? Striking guys, locking out, getting extension, shedding, making tackles, right? Really good pursuit, good motor. Just saw him chase down something on the backside where he was playing right defensive end, strong side defensive end. I'm not going to lie, man. He's a good football player, really good football player. He's a true freshman. But, and I was saying, like, I mean, that's probably the development piece, because not saying he wasn't a good player out of high school. I never saw his tape, but I just saw that he was like a three-star player, wasn't like highly recruited like that. But I know his defensive line coach. His defensive line coach literally was my defensive line coach in Carolina for 1 year. He was a really good coach. A guy that he played like nose guard, I think, for the Redskins for a minute. But T-Knight, that's his coach. And I think I also saw something. There's like at least like he mentioned something about like the development piece and how T-Knight has really helped prepare him. But he handled business, Chase. So I mean, like, even though I'm salty about his comments, I mean, to be fair, you can't really deny. I mean, he said what he said, and now we're seeing why he said what he said. He played a pretty damn good game, and touche. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ragged Glory up first. Ragged, welcome in.
Thank you so much. You know what? I actually understand this psychology from Castellanos. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. He is building these guys up. And mm-hmm. the psychology is he is forming a Goliath.
Mm.
Okay? Remember back in the Old Testament, Goliath. Okay?
Yeah.
Coming from Palestine, you know, Palestine said, we've had enough of this. We're going to do it our way. And then they start crushing everybody. But guess who faced Goliath?
David.
You know what? It may not be us right now for all the rest of the games to be played in their conference and their schedule. But you got to be very careful with the ones who walk softly and carry a great big stick will bring you down. I know it was a sling with David, but it doesn't matter. Somebody in that ACC conference might open up a can of whoop up on them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'll tell you one thing for sure. When you start saying these kinds of things to the University of Alabama, you're just making us stronger. Mm-hmm. One game at a time, and please, don't you... you better not be there to face us when the money's on the line and the rubber's got to hit the road. Because I'll tell you, this team we've got right now is going to end up one game at a time. A win is a win, and we're going all of the way. I got the utmost faith. And we're just going to walk softly and carry a big stick, and we're going to spank you when we see you again.
Hmm. Do you think we see Florida State again? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think we'll see Florida State again. But if we do, guess what? You won't have the same Alabama team you faced at the first game of the season. Uh-uh. Ain't going to happen again. Just like the Who song. Won't get fooled again.
Yeah, no, I definitely think this team would be much better down the road, but got our challenges ahead of us. But no. If Alabama plays like they played in week one ever again during the season, I will be beyond disappointed. And I don't think that's going to be the case.
No, it's not. You won't have to be disappointed. Trust me. We've got it together.
Yeah, no, they seem like they're, again, back on track for sure. I just think this next game next week in Athens will definitely be a good test. We'll know a lot more about this football team next week, 100%. I agree.
I actually don't have any fear against Georgia, honestly. I just
no,
don't
I mean,
feel
maybe,
it
maybe
in
not
my gut.
Fear,
I
but,
know.
No, maybe not fear, but what about, I mean, like, do you not concern, but is there any, I don't know. I mean, like, when you say that, do you mean, like, you're not worried about them whatsoever? Does that mean you don't even think it's going to be a close game? Tell me.
It's going to be a good game, but we're going to win, honestly. I can just feel this. We're going to beat Georgia, and then we're going to get ready for what? Vanderbilt? Cool. Bring it. One game at a time. Understand your enemy. Understand your opponent. Look them in the eyes and show them the fire and determination. Y'all do your jobs, execute, and there it is there.
Hey, I like the confidence, Ragged. I like the confidence. Hopefully you're right, man. Definitely going to be a good one next week. Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that matchup, too. But
sure.
Definitely going to be a good one. Nope. Ragged, we're going to hit this break, man. We appreciate you.
Go ahead. Have a blessed day, y'all. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. You too, always, man. Good deal. All right, quick time out. We come back. We keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Again, big news regarding the transfer portal. We definitely got to discuss that because we might be finally making some steps. Alabama's making some steps, getting back on track. Well, hopefully we're making some steps to kind of clean up college football, which I feel like there's been a number of false steps recently. We'll see what happens with this. We'll discuss it. We come back right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, Alabama's back out on their practice field preparing for Georgia. We'll cover that. We'll also talk with Connor O'Gara. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. And we'll talk to Aaron Torres starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Free Irish Pub, often imitated but never duplicated. Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. A few isolated showers through the evening hours. The high today 92, tonight's low 68. For tomorrow and Saturday, the sky mostly sunny both days. Afternoon highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so we just got done talking with Ragged. Before that, we were talking about the comments from the Florida State freshman defensive lineman who obviously walked away very confident out of that game. But we watched his tape from it, and we understand why. He definitely had himself a good game. Let's move on to this other topic that I want to bring up, and I think you guys definitely probably have some thoughts on this, because I feel like we've kind of got lost from this conversation for a little bit, Chase, because nobody's really been talking about it. The season's going on. It's not really, I guess, a huge issue right now. But in terms of the transfer portal, Chase, we've got some big news regarding it. I'll share this on the screen. That way you guys can see the article if it loads. Of course, it's adding slow. But long story short, it appears that the NCAA has decided to officially pass a one-time-only college football transfer portal window. Now, that was the wording from what I read. Now, does that mean it's different for other sports? I guess we'll find out more as we read here together. But I guess initially just seeing that, I was like, wow, that could be a game changer. I know we've discussed it with you guys. We have people call and say, why don't they get rid of the two windows? I know coaches have said that's been an issue. And it seems like they finally are listening. Now, this is according to On3. I'll share this so we can look at this together. But it looks like the NCAA is eliminating the spring transfer portal window. So it seems like they'll maintain the December, right, like the postseason window, and that'll be it, which I think will be huge, right, because we've seen the spring window is just kind of guys go through spring and then I guess, I mean, from a player perspective, maybe it's not bad because you at least kind of have an idea like where you stand post-spring. If it's not looking great for you, you get a chance. But at the end of the day, that ends up killing the teams because then you're sitting there as a coach, you have no depth. But allegedly says, college football is officially moving to a single transfer portal window, but when the free agency open remains undetermined. NCAA committee approved the elimination of the spring transfer portal window on Wednesday, which was yesterday. They voted earlier in September to approve a 10-day portal, but that was not approved on Wednesday. So it remains undetermined when the one-time portal will be, which was proposed for January 2nd through the 11th. So that, to me, feels like, when is the national championship game now? Chase, I'm trying. I know when we were playing, it was around, damn, I think it was like a little, probably around that time. But anyway, goes on to say, in response to student-athlete feedback, football oversight committees will consider modifications to the proposed single January window, including the length of the window and corresponding dates. So it also goes on to say, if a head coach is fired, the 30-day window will still be open for players, which I think is fair, right? A change in coaching staff, I guess that makes sense, right? Somebody gets fired, maybe give you guys a chance. Maybe probably could, I guess, maybe limit it a little bit, but I do think that is pretty fair. It's justified, in my opinion. That includes Virginia Tech and UCLA, who obviously fired their respective head coaches over the weekend. Let's see. The move to one-time only portal is supposed to allow schools to finish their season with the entire team before the transfer portal opens, but the date for this year's transfer portal window remains unclear. And this is, I guess, somebody talking about it. Let's say we agree to a deal with player A, get a signed agreement, but because of the calendar, he doesn't report to school for 20 more days. On day 16, school X calls because they missed on players B and C and offer more because they're desperate. We're now back to square one with player A, and they hold all the leverage to renegotiate. That's not sustainable. So, I mean, I guess there are some things that still are being addressed. But I don't know, Chase. I mean, hearing that, man, I mean, obviously, in my opinion, I feel like that's the right move. I think that helps kind of clean some things up. Because I feel like the spring window definitely was something where guys kind of feel it out, go through spring, and if things aren't looking great, they just kind of just jump ship, right? Or somebody's offering them money, right? You see these, that was kind of the whole threat of, I guess, like spring in general. People worry about like tampering and seeing guys on like A-Day or spring games, right? So I guess my question is, if there is no spring window, I mean, will we see a return of A-Day? Will we see a return of spring games in general. If you think about it, the window's not until the end of the year. You get what I'm saying? So in my opinion, I'm thinking maybe spring is clean back up and we see a return to A-Day, because I know everybody was kind of upset about the new format. It wasn't televised or anything, but I guess there wouldn't really be as much of a reason to feel so protective if there's no window right there. Because then guys, sure, they say, I guess, catch the attention of other schools, but they can't do anything about it unless they cut their weight all the way until December. And by then, those guys might actually be vying for more playing time, because the guys that were in front of them for that football season could be leaving. I don't know. So perfect timing on that, because we got to hit this top hour break. I want you guys to think about that. Let me know what your responses are in the chat here. Definitely want to talk about this a little bit. 205-342-9904 is the number. Do you guys believe that this will be a good solution? And how do you think this ends up going? Again, they approved it, so only one window. Don't have the specific dates, but it seems like that January is where they want it to land, which makes sense, right? You finish the whole season, everything's pretty much done around then. I guess I'm getting the dates mixed up, because now that you have all these extra games, the playoff system, whatever the case may be, but I'd imagine those teams maybe would get an extension if there was teams still playing. You get my point. But the good news is only one window. I think that is a step. Want to get y'all's thoughts on that. 242-9904. Top, when we come back, we'll keep on rolling. Tide 100.930 WTVC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The National League wild card race. The Padres beat the Mets 7-4. San Francisco beat Arizona 5-1. And the Reds beat the Cardinals 6-2. That means the Diamondbacks now a game and a half back for the final NL wild card spot. Reds and the Giants are two games back. On the American League side, the Yankees have the first wild card spot. They beat the Twins 10-5. The Guardians beat the Tigers 4-0. Tigers now have dropped 5 of the last 6 games. Guardians 2.5 back of the AL final wild card spot. Boston and Seattle currently in that spot after the Astros beat the Rangers 5-2. Red Sox beat the A's 5-4 in extra innings. WNBA playoffs. The Mercury beat the Liberty 86-60. Alyssa Thomas with 28 points. The best of 3 series now tied 1 apiece. Minnesota advances through the first round 2-0, beating Golden State 75-74. Golden State making the playoffs in their first year as a team. I'm Martin Weiss.
It's time to win some cash on WTBC and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Here is this hour's cash code.
The code is 166. The code is 166. That's 166.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
adults and a 1K race for the kids. VIP tickets are $75. Beer steins available on site for $10. To learn more, just go to TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
95.3 The Bear, and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide 100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on
24/7, call 800-273-8255 or visit vetsforhope.com. Sponsored by the Partners of Alabama's Challenge and the Alabama Broadcasters Association.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down. It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars for those high quality, best cigars in the Southeast that you can find. Check out R&R Cigars. R&RCigars.com is where you can go to their website. Use that code Miller's Edge, get a big discount. Plus, if you're looking for a place to watch games, go pick up your cigars. Over 160 bourbons, just a place to go hang out, watch sports, fellowship with a whole bunch of people. Oh, man, check out R&R Cigars, the place to be. Again, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa is where you can find them. Check them out today. You won't be disappointed. The big mansion, they've got it all. TVs throughout, the cigars, the bourbons. Drink responsibly. It is a dream place for any sport lover, cigar lover, all that good stuff. Or anybody in general that just wants a place to go hang out. Again, that's R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how's it going?
Oh, it's good, brother. How's everything?
Good. Finally got some rain in Phoenix, and it's like a national holiday when it rains there. You know, I was ready to take off work or something, but the thing is, right, it hit me with Alabama. This roster is kind of in a rebuild, and the reason I say that is if you look at the 2D, look at how many after the veteran got as a freshman, true freshman, or red shirt freshman second string. you know this, you aren't supposed to have freshmen as your number two throughout the defensive line or your offensive line. It should be your a redshirt freshman should not be second string up. You know what I'm saying? I know you get what I'm saying. And because when Keenan went down, you know, his two backups were a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. Usually that's a junior or maybe a sophomore or something like that with a little bit more experience. So, and you see these guys taking their lumps, some of them, but in a year's time, just like that secondary, and they get to fill out some more through the portal and recruiting, I think this roster's going to be in better shape next year, try depth-wise, with experience depth, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, let me think of it. It depends. I mean, I would argue that this year we are in probably some really good shape. I mean, think about all the guys you return on defense, all the guys offensively, right? I mean, I feel like our roster is in pretty good shape this year, but I'm trying to think next year, Deontay Lawson's gone, Justin Jefferson's gone. So you lose all three linebackers next year, right? So yeah. That's quite the problem. You lose all the
Yeah, we'll be all right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't say we won't be good, but I'm just telling you, I mean, you typically at least have like one guy returning there. You got all three guys that are gone, so that's going to be quite the adjustment. Tim Keenan's gone. James Smith will be back. I mean, unless he decided to leave. Quay Russo should be back unless he decides to leave. So up front, I think you'll be fine because you got a lot of depth there. Really, like you mentioned, the young guys will be stepping up. Secondary-wise, you lose Damani Jackson. ZB's back. Keon Sab's gone. Bray should have another year. So, yeah, I'll be honest. I feel like we retain more people this year than you will next year. I don't look at us really in a rebuilding year, if I'm being honest with you. I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think we had plenty of guys returning. I know last year you lost a number of guys, but I feel like you had so many guys returning this year. I'll be honest with you, respectfully, I don't think we're in a rebuilding year.
Yeah, the reason I say that is depth. It's like the drop-off in experience. And that's my thing there. And, you can't cure that in one offseason.
Smitty, I think that's more so attributed to the transfer portal.
That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, but I think everybody deals with that, right? I mean, think about, I mean, how many guys Georgia lost to transfer portal? How many guys, really every school? I just think that's the nature of college football. I mean, and that's why Coach Saban was always, you know, so adamant on finding a correction for that. Because I remember, what was it, the bowl game where we played Kansas State, whatever, and we hardly had anybody in terms of depth, because everybody was, you know, choosing going to portal at that time. So I think that's more of a portal issue, honestly.
Yeah, and speaking of the portal, like with this one portal window thing, I think keep like the Big Ten one, a spring one, said no, keep it after the season and maybe like when your team makes the playoff or the semifinal, the title game, you may have a 10-day window after that. And even if class start, just put in a waiver saying like, that guy could still, because he played late in the playoff, he didn't fail on his team. At his new school, he's still eligible to do all team activities and play in the spring. And I think something like that should help as well, because he can't control, like, let's say if, you know, a guy from Alabama, they make it far in the playoff, but, you know, class may start a new school, but at least that he'll still be able to participate, you know, the spring workouts, spring ball, so he's not too far behind. And maybe that's something they could put in as well. Some players had to bolt for playoff teams or they wouldn't be eligible to do spring activities, even like many of them new quarterbacks. So I just think that maybe they could do something like that.
Well, I think with the new window aiming to be around January, I feel like they should all be eligible. Wouldn't that work or no?
It depends what class starts for that school.
Yeah, I feel like there's something. I mean, I'm pretty sure most of the time they end up being able to do some stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you know any cases of guys not being able to be involved in activities? I don't have the reason I ask is I don't know anybody that transferred here that had that problem. So I'm just curious.
Maybe I think the only one was because Proctor transferred and then did it after the spring, the school started, and he had to wait till the summer. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, let's say the national championship, like, last, like, January 20th, I think. A lot of your colleges already started classes by then, you know? And you may have already passed a drop date, depending on your college. So, if let's say if a kid from Ohio State last year won the transfer, play a championship game, maybe just saying, hey, okay, he may not be able to get in class, but at least he can still do the spring activities, you know, and as they play the game. I think something like that will be fine in that case, you know.
Yeah, I think normally that stuff's pretty cleaned up. I'll be honest, I hadn't heard too many issues regarding that. I think the bigger issue really, Smitty, is just trying to make sure that they cut it down to the point where this isn't becoming a huge circus where these teams are having to worry about having no depth, like you mentioned with the depth. Again, I really don't think we're rebuilding. I just think that's just the nature of college football. Guys are going to naturally leave. I mean, look at the defensive line. I mean, a guy, to your point, right, Damon Payne, he was a vet that would have been here, right? He played snaps. But that, to me, that's just, you know, a product of the portal. That is what it is. I'm trying to think if we had any other – we had another defensive lineman that transferred, I feel like.
Jaheim Otis.
But see, that's what I'm saying. To me, that's not – and those guys didn't leave because of Coach DeBoer. They were here with Coach DeBoer. So, to me, that's why, respectfully, I don't agree with the rebuilding thing, but you're not the first person to say that. Somebody else said that like a week or two ago. I think we're past that point going into year number two. If you said that last year – somewhat because you lost a handful of guys and a handful of important players, sure. But even then, I mean, it wasn't terrible. But this year, I definitely don't think we're in a rebuilding phase. If anything, I think it's the opposite. I think we're closer to being more established than we were last year. And I think by next year, that'll be year three for Coach DeBoer. He'll have two recruiting classes in. Even the guys that might have been original Coach Saban guys, they didn't really even get to work with Coach Saban. It was him. So they're going on year three with Coach DeBoer. To me, that we're past that phase. I think it's just the transfer portal that's the issue that's causing the issue you're explaining, which I think this portal window hopefully will help change. I mean, and I think when they say one time, I hope that also includes, like, guys can't just do that every year either. I don't know if I really saw that with what we read or if Chase has a better answer, but that, to me, is the other problem. It's not just – the first step is limiting it to one per year. They don't need to be a December and a spring. It needs to be one window. And like they mentioned, if certain circumstances come up, like a coach gets fired or leaves, whatever, sure, that's fine. It is what it is. But I'm trying to figure out, are they going to change the rules on, like, the number of times in general a player can leave? Because that also is a problem to me, that – guys can be going on school 3, 4, sometimes 5. That is kind of what's driving the whole free agency side of things, in my opinion. Like, two windows to one window, cool, that's a great first step. But what about, all right, this guy comes here, he signs here, he gets paid. Oh, I don't really like it here. Not just I don't like it here, but this school is saying, oh, well, we got a spot for you and we'll pay you this. Then this the next year he leaves. To me, that's another issue, if not an even bigger one. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I'll say this before I run, but that's the one thing I always say, is that you keep jumping school to school, or like, hey, I signed here, but the spring on transfer, but I still took these people money. And since we're not technically employees, I don't have to pay these people back. That will actually de-incentivize boosters from giving money if players keep doing that, okay? No return on investment. And I'm sorry, I don't see how these kids want to move all the time. I'm tired of moving. 1 year, I'd be like, I'm tired of moving, man. But it's just the thing is, like in the NFL, your pro leagues, you don't have a perpetual free agency like that. Players don't really want to do multiple one-year contracts because they want the stability. And I'm thinking, like, what's happening, what a lot of these players don't get, is that there's something with connections with your school. And that after your post-playing career, because the NFL ain't promised. I still say make it a practice squad is a win. There, you're still a 1%er. But if it doesn't work out, you still have connections with that school. If you have a hard time, you get in trouble, whatever, you may have a job. But if you go into 4 schools in 4 years, 3 and 4, you have no home. You know, and I think what these players got to understand is the NIL is great. But your college is a 40, 50-year decision. And maybe if you don't have a long NFL career, you could work at the school radio show or like a TV show, or, you know, be a pitch man for like a local business in town. All kind of things that you could do. And I think these players and their parents got to think of that. And one last thing, I forgot to say this, Christian. Now, like you said, the spring games will be back, I think, because you're not worried about it. Top players may jump. But if you want to, but I will say this, if you still want to jump after the spring, you got to sit out. That's the way I look at it. And I think that will help some of that out. But well, you have a good one, Christian.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, they don't even have that opportunity anymore. I mean, that's the thing. The next window they get to jump would only be the following January. So that I mean, there's not even.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're saying like sit now. I mean, I guess they can say, "Oh, I'm going to sit out," and then
sit
wait
out the year,
until
yeah.
January. Yeah, but to me, that's you're doing all that. That's way too. I mean, like, come on, bro. Like, hey, maybe in like a very slim, like, certain circumstances, maybe. But that, to me, that's just that's doing way too much.
Because, like, for instance, right, everybody looks for off the mat to the transfer. But now he has tape now from him playing. So if he did decide to have more options in the winter time. So I just think these players got to look at the long game, not the short game. But hey, you have a good one, Christian.
Sir. Yes, sir. Smitty, I appreciate you, bro. Good stuff as always. Good deal. All right. Let's get back on schedule. Hit this timeout. We come back. There was a practice today. Alabama was on the practice field earlier. And it looks like we got some player interviews you got to get to. So we got Caden Proctor up first. We'll hear from him talking about practice today. And I got a couple other ones we can get to as well, unless we got more folks lining up on the phone lines. 205-342-9904 is the number. Quick timeout. Be right back.
And thank you, because without the donors, St. Jude wouldn't be here.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
That's leafilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. A few isolated showers through the evening hours. The high today 92, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow and Saturday, the sky mostly sunny both days. Afternoon highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 89 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9. And
welcome back into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Let's roll with some of these player interviews that we got from today. Again, we got Caden Proctor, but hold on, looks like we got an ad message. We haven't read one of these in a minute, but we've got an ad message from GDR in Jasper. It says, if that doesn't get played nonstop for our offensive line, no words. Too bad Florida State doesn't have another competition besides maybe Miami. Yeah, I mean, Miami, I mean, do they play Georgia Tech? I'm sure they probably do. Maybe not. ACC is just trash. So you're right. I mean, it is what it is, but maybe that sets us up to see, for us to get our lick back. I mean, I would not be shocked if they're in that picture. Somehow the committee finding a way to put those teams together, right? They always like controversy. They like Wissell. So Kitty says, but Christian, behind closed doors, I bet y'all talked plenty about other players. Now, I said in the media, brother, I didn't say it in general. Like, I mean, of course, I mean, we're regular people. We say all type of stuff. Exactly. Matter of fact, and then you heard, I mean, like the pregame stuff, like, you know, that was like maybe with Bo Davis or whatever. Like, you heard we spoke then. I'm referring to like media. Like, we were always trained, like, in the media, you know, you go about it a certain way. Don't speak negatively on our opponents. Don't speak negatively of your teammates. Always be respectful and you know, I guess positive, right? Anyway, that was how we did it. But and I think I'm pretty sure you got majority of the same people around, so that's probably the same expectation. All right, player interview number one. We got Kaden Prater speaking to the media post practice today. Let's hear what he had to say.
How you doing, Kaden?
Great.
Kaden, what was the bye week like for you?
How's the bye week going?
Yeah, what was the bye week like for you? The off time.
I mean, obviously, it feels good to, you know, have a little rest time and chill, get your body back right. So that's just what I've been focusing on. But you know, when practice comes, that's what you got to be locked in and focused on. So I feel like we had a pretty good practice, and we're just gonna keep moving on.
How do you think the offensive line has done in the run game so far?
I feel like we need to be better. I mean, that's everybody already knows that. And we've been going against some really great fronts, some really great teams that have focused on stopping us in the run. And we just need to get better. That's point blank, period.
What would be the aspect that you want to get better at in the run game? Like any particular detail or is there any aspect that you are focused on?
Just focusing on fundamentals. Going through practice, focusing on the fundamentals, physicality, hands inside, tight feet. That's all it is, man. That's all it is.
What are your early impressions of what you've seen from Georgia as they start working?
Georgia's Georgia, and they're always going to be Georgia. Like, it's always a tough competition and a tough challenge, and just got to get ready for them. And I know they're going to do the same.
You've been through a few games with them, had a fair share of wins out of that. How could you describe what that matchup is and if it's different from other teams?
Life insurance.
Sorry, I just realized I was on mute. I'm sorry. There's that quick commercial right there. But basically what I was saying was, you know, he spoke on the fundamentals piece. That's what they've been working on. Obviously, you know, it's never been a talent issue with this line. I mean, you got plenty of talent, but they just got to bring everything together, do it consistently, and execute at a higher level. And that's what he's discussing. But I don't know, man. The way he kind of said it, just kind of like, oh, you know, it's just little fundamentals. And yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, it is just a little fundamentals, but like, come on, man, like that should be like first and foremost stuff. Like that's stuff that you guys need to control. Like, I don't know, which I guess that's what they're doing, but let's continue. Oh God. Sorry. I just clicked the wrong button. Here we go.
Any aspect that you are focused on?
Just hands inside doors like this.
You've been through a few games with them, and fair sure it is, and if it's different from other teams you guys play.
I mean, it's not any different than any other rivalry game or any other game. I mean, we're going to prepare the same. This is how it goes, but I know every time we play them, it's intense. And you've seen last year, you can't keep a team down like that. It's just a really great team.
What does a Saturday look like for on and off week for you? Like, do you try and get away from the football? Do you, like, decompress? Like, what does that look like?
There's no getting away from the football, man. Yeah. You always gotta be locked into the film. Still focusing on that, even though we don't have any obligations in the building, you still have to do your stuff off the field.
There was a lot of talk going into this week about, like, keeping the fire up and keeping kind of the momentum from ULM and from Wisconsin. Do you feel that on the practice field? Does that kind of continue that energy? Or?
I would say it was pretty good today. It was pretty good today. I mean, it's always hard starting practice out with 3 or 4 days off, but I feel like the focus and intent was there. I mean, the intensity is just going to keep growing as the week goes on. So,
is there a, like a right time for an off week? like, does it matter to you as a player? Or?
I mean, it honestly doesn't matter. It's a long season.
Yeah.
Your body's going to get banged up. This is how it goes. I mean, there's nothing you can do to prevent it. Just come in the training room, trying to take care of your body, but everybody's still banged up. It don't matter if it was now, the first week or the last week, we had 5 weeks.
They'll use seven different combinations of offensive line in last game on nine drives. You were part of six of them. What's your perspective on mixing up the offensive line so much?
Just got to find the right five, the right physicality through all of them. And it's not up to me. I love everybody who I play next to. And I know Coach Cap and Coach Greb, Coach DeBoer are going to do their best to put the best five out there. So.
What have you thought of the way Michael Carroll's come in? Your guy played as a true freshman. What have you sort of seen from him?
Physicality. I mean, he's came out and had that intensity. He's been trying to wreck up shop. Even on walkthroughs. I mean, he's just got that intensity, and that's just the guy that he is. And that's some of the guys that we need to have on offensive line, no doubt.
Yeah, man. Maybe he'll rub off on that. I'm not gonna lie to you. He's not lying. Even in practice, you just watch Michael Carroll. That was one of the first things I noticed about him. Is he's very very physical, right? No matter what he's doing, right? Even through the walkthrough stuff. I mean, he's just kind of got that trait, I guess. But hopefully he can rub that off on the rest of them, because I think if they all play with that level of intensity on a consistent basis, they'd be even better of a unit.
I mean, it's pretty early, but right now Alabama is currently a -4 point underdog versus Georgia. What is you guys' mindset coming into a hostile environment like that, especially you being up front? You know, everything starts up front in the trenches.
Sorry, another quick little commercial break, and we are back.
Offensive defense, what is just the mindset that an Alabama offensive line has going into that game?
I mean, the -4, that's all I think about is that's for better, man. I mean, we're not worried about that. You just got to focus on what we need to do. Like I said, it's preparing for another game. I mean, obviously, Georgia's a tough opponent, and it's going to be a tough game. We got to get ready for it.
Cam Dewberry's got a lot of, like, love over the past few weeks. Have you seen, like, seems like a lot of tenacity and things like that? Have you seen that out of him, both on the field and off the field?
I would say so, yes. I mean, he's been attacking every aspect of the football. I mean, on the field, even coming to Hot Works with me late at night, just doing the things off the field, trying to get our bodies in shape, classroom. I mean, got class with him. He's there early, on time, just doing the right things. That's what you need.
Hey, Hot Works, you go
to? Hot Works, we do the hot bike, little sauna biking.
How does that help?
Every night, shredding weight, man. Shredding weight. I think I've probably lost 20 since fall camp. So,
what are you currently clocking in at?
63, 64, somewhere around there.
How many miles do you do? You know?
There's not miles. It goes 15 minutes of class.
Okay.
So just stay in there. It's at 130 degrees. Just sweat it out, man. Sweat it out.
Do you guys compare in terms of who loses more weight? Or, like, how do you guys, like, do you have competition in there?
It depends on how much you sweat, honestly. Yes. Just if you're a big sweater like I am, I know Cam is. I try to go in there and put a sweatshirt and sweatpants on and get maximum sweat.
Is it like the standard bikes, or is it got like the screen with the glass on?
It's
two different guys, and he got out of it for a 19-yard gain. Maybe when it's not perfect, his ability to get out of there.
I mean, Ty, he's been doing everything off the field. I mean, as a leader too, and it's obviously showing up on the field. He's doing his thing. I need to do some stuff better, obviously, to not put him in that position. But he's a ball player. Point blank, period. It's a ball player.
Are there lessons you've learned playing as a true freshman, or like mistakes you made, maybe you tried to pass on to Michael Carroll so he doesn't have the same thing?
I would say not letting a bad play hinder your future plays. That's really the biggest thing. If your mind goes to that one bad play, and I mean, we got 30 more plays to go, you know what I'm saying, in a practice or in a game, like, you can't, that's not something that you can think about, or it'll ruin the rest of the game for you.
Is that elements of him that you see in yourself, Michael?
I would say just a hungry young kid. I mean, he hates being with the twos as anybody would, and I know that's how I was too, and I see he's trying to do the things to change that and never be on the two. So and Wilkins doing the same thing, and anybody that plays right tackle, it sucks being on the twos, but you just got to treat it as a normal practice, do your job.
Is getting those bad plays out of your head, is that harder when you're like a freshman here? You've probably been the best player on the field your whole life, like, until you got here.
It's definitely stressful coming and playing in the SEC. It's hard to do, especially when yeah, like you said, like being the best player and you lose constantly, and you're trying to do everything to change it, but you're not seeing some results. So you got to do a little extra. It might take a lot of your time, but that's just what has to happen.
Kellen DeBoer also put an emphasis on getting the run game going as you guys, SEC play. Which has been the biggest area of emphasis that Coach Kapp has been emphasizing to you guys as the offensive line group as a whole over his bowl?
Right now we're trying to find the right guys to go out there and have the physicality and intensity to go out there and actually gain some rushing yards and get our running backs free and pop some of those runs, because sometimes it's only one guy that loses the block, and we get the TFL. So we need all five guys out there that know what they're doing and the right lineup, and I know that they're going to do that.
You talked about when you got to find the right five. Is that something that you want to have the continuity of the same five guys, or do you think it's good to have rotation throughout the whole season?
I don't think it's good to have rotation throughout the whole season, because you have to have that camaraderie between all five for them to be at one. But earlier in the season, I guess it's okay to have that rotation, and we've shown up to win with those rotations going on, so I feel like it's not bad right now. But once we get into the tougher teams, we need those five, and we need to stick with them.
All right, so that'll do it for Kaden Proctor. Again, a lot of good, I guess, answers regarding the offensive line, getting that running game going, what they're doing over the course of this bye week to do that. Chase, let's go ahead and catch up on this timeout real quick. We'll hit that. We come back. We got Bray Hubbard, who spoke to the media as well. We'll hear from him and Isaiah Horden, and slowly wrap things up here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art.
Like you, he's on meds too. Call 800-777-1225, 800-777-1225, or biglou.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Keep on rolling. We got Bray Hubbard up next, which I think should be a good one. Obviously, we heard him talk to the media before the Wisconsin game, and he definitely walked the walk when Saturday came. So let's hear from Bray Hubbard after earning SEC Defensive Player of the Week honors, number of other recognition from his performance, a pair of interceptions, a whole bunch of tackles, and most importantly, man, just a complete 180 in terms of the effort and physicality he played with. So here's Bray Hubbard after practice.
Good. I mean, it's kind of weird. I just like playing football, so I'm usually used to playing a game every Saturday, but, we got to do what we got
to
do.
How do you, I guess, when you're not expected to play a game, like, how do you decompress? Like what have you done on past off weeks to kind of, like, get out of that mindset for a couple hours?
I mean, you really can't get out of the mindset, honestly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you still got to focus on who the opponent is next week and fix what you messed up last week and just keep building.
What's next for this defense? What do you think is the next step?
I mean, ball out every week consistently. I mean, that's what I think we got to take the next step in, is just playing like we did the past 2 weeks consistently. So,
what's different about this Georgia offense this year?
They got good players all across the board. I mean, that's normal for Georgia. Coach Moore does a great job with recruiting over there and gets a lot of good players in. They got some guys out of the portal over there, and they got some weapons outside. Their quarterback does a really good job, not only in the pass game, but he can run too. So we gotta dial in, factor in everything that he can do, and plus with all his weapons across the board.
I know you guys don't pay attention to the outside noise a lot, but Alabama is currently a minus a 4 underdog to Georgia. What is your guys' mindset of going on the road of being underdogs playing in that type of environment?
Let's do it. I mean, we love it. I mean, we love a good challenge, and they're a top five team in the country for a reason. It's a challenge. I mean, every week in the SEC is going to be a challenge, and they're just the next one up. So it's time to go over there and, face a good team and bring our A game.
Kind of on that note, does it give you any motivation when the opposing fan base does something like a blackout or an event like that?
I really didn't even know about it, honestly. I'm not even familiar with it, so y'all tell me what it is like.
They're just going to wear all black, I guess, in the fans. This is the thing.
Last time it happened, Alabama won by 35
game's
points.
Game. So. Sure.
I hate to say this. The only thing I wish people in the media understood, man, like, as players, that has no effect on anything whatsoever. That's why Bray had that response, because it's so irrelevant. Like, we could care less, or we aren't even going to notice what their fans are wearing. I mean, like, that has nothing to do with what's going on between the lines. I know they ask that stuff for, like, journalism stuff maybe, but I wish they just understood, like, as a player, like, that we have no clue what, like, that even means. He don't even remember last time. Like, they're like, oh, last time it happened, 1 month. They're like, I just wish people in the media understood. We don't, as players, we don't know about any of these stats, facts, history. Like, our job is what we have on task that week, man, or that season. That's all that really matters as players. Again, I'm not knocking the guys for asking the question. I wish they understood, because I don't know if they're trying to write a story off that or what, but none of these guys are going to even, I'm willing to bet money they'll have no other answer than what Bray just said. Kind of just like, oh, well, that's cool, I guess.
What's it been like playing beside Keon? That's not something we really did a lot last year with him being out. What's it been like the first 3 games?
It's been awesome. I mean, we were constantly back there communicating with each other. And once we get on the sideline after a drive, we communicate to each other just what we're seeing and different things we may be getting and to what to expect potentially. I mean, I love that guy to death. I mean, he's a smart player. Coaches say it all the time. Smart player's a better player. So, I mean, we do a good job controlling things in the back end. And that's about it. So.
Seems like the word of the week for everyone while you guys were focusing on you is obsessed over the finer details before you get to Georgia. What aspect of the game are you obsessing over this week most?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of look at it in a broader view, just with things that I can do personally and doing my 111 to the best of my ability, whether it's watching film or just reading different keys of what I can do to, you know, help the team win. So.
Is there something maybe you've learned off of previous road trips as a team that you guys are kind of focusing to change this week? Are you guys doing anything maybe different in preparation?
I mean, preparation never changes. It's always the intense preparation. But I think, you know, the key is starting fast. And that's what you have to do when you're on the road. I mean, there's that crowd noise, you're in a hostile environment, whatever you want to say. But at the end of the day, it comes down to us starting fast, going out there and doing what we got to do.
You spoke when we started about how bye weeks are troublesome for players to, you know, stay hot and stay ready to go. What is it like for a player like you who went and caught 2 picks on Saturday? Now you got to wait 2 more weeks before you can get back out on the field.
It's always the same preparation every day, every week. So, you know, I just got to stay honed in on the details. And like I said, do my 111. I mean, yeah, we don't play for another week or so, but that doesn't change anything. It's just we still got to keep going and attacking.
Was there anything you did differently leading into the Wisconsin game that you think led to some success that led you being named Conference Defensive Player of the Week?
I just did my job. You do your job, plays come to you. So that's what I did. It wasn't like I did anything crazy. We all watched the film. I mean, it was like you just did your job. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is doing your 111 and doing it to the best of your ability. So,
Stop and run is going to be important. You guys have faced challenges. Stopping the run is going to be the things you guys are going to have. Had challenges with in the past. And of course, stopping the run is going to be something that you guys are going to have to do in the SEC. What are your thoughts on your role as being in the secondary, being a part of the defense, and stopping the run? What do you think your role is?
We got to show up in support. Y'all probably don't notice it much, but we see it all the time is safeties are always in a fit somewhere. You may not be in the primary fit, but you may be in a secondary fit. So, and you have to come down and make sure that you're on your level of your fit. So, I mean, that's something we got to really lock into. And up front, they'll do their job, and they usually always funnel it to us, and we got to make the play.
I feel like we don't talk a lot about Damani. What have you seen from him so far this season? What kind of things has he for this defense, Dwight Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, he's a major part. I mean, we saw what he can do. I mean, he hasn't, I guess you could say, he really hasn't been tested this year. And You know, we're getting an SEC play now. Everybody's going to get tested, and he's ready for it. And so I'm ready to see Damani out there making plays. So
you against Ty in practice, how have you seen him grow these past few weeks?
He's constantly growing. I mean, he's a freaking game manager, and that's something he's done since spring ball. And it's just keep stacking for him, and you know, getting on the same page as the receivers, the O-line, whatever it is. And I mean, we face him every week, whether it's a good or good period, whatever it is, we're still facing Ty every week. And I mean, you can see his constant growth, just being able to manage the offense. So
yeah, what's most difficult about going against him and what he does?
I mean, he's a sneaky athlete, honestly. I mean, if he doesn't see anything, I mean, we may have it covered in the back end or whatever, but he sees a lane, he's going to take off. And he's gotten with that. He's gotten us before, just, you know, whatever, just making plays on his feet. I mean, he's a sneaky athlete, so you got to be careful.
Okay.
All right, so that was Bray Hubbard there, and some good things from him as well, but as he put it, man, he's doing his job, man. And to answer your question, Ryan in the chat, he says 111. Brady mentioned that a couple of times. Just kind of 11 guys on the defense, just doing your job pretty much, right? Just doing your 111th, doing your piece of the job, right? Making sure that you're taking care of your business, whether it's in your run fit, right? You're part of the coverage, whatever the case may be on that given play. Just basically just doing your job. That's when he says 111th, doing your job. So that'll do it for us on here, because we got to get out early because we combine breaks. If you guys were on hold, man, you stay on there. You got a show coming up next. You can hop on there as well. But appreciate everybody, per usual, all our listeners, Tide 100.9 stream, YouTube at The Miller's Edge, on Facebook at Tide 100.9. And look forward to doing it all again tomorrow in 22 hours. And we should be joined by a special guest. We'll see for sure. And just be on the lookout for that. Again, you can catch us here on The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, and on YouTube as well. Presented by The Goofy Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll see you guys tomorrow.